Comments made on the Serotalk Podcast Network are those of the individuals and do not represent Serotalk Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers.
Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast.
Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast, your portal to the accessible digital lifestyle. www.serotalk.com, a production of Serotech Corporation, makers of System Access, the System Access Mobile Network, and SA2Go. Learn about new technology, cool software, useful websites, education, information, entertainment, user comments, and much more. And now, here's your host, Jamie Pauls.
Welcome to Serotalk Podcast 170 for September 23rd, 2013. I'm Jamie Pauls.
I'm Ricky Inger.
And I'm Joe Steinkamp. I have to turn down this iPad thing over here because I left it open. I don't want any Solara updates going on here. Yes, still playing. You know, we didn't actually mention that there was an update coming. Well, there was an update that happened and then an update that is coming that actually had the ability to build and strike all your shops and be able to read those. Ricky, you loved that. That was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. That's great stuff. I plum filled up my castle and now I got to tear some of it up again so I can build more stuff.
You know, I wonder, it allows background downloading or background audio. Could you use that with any particular apps that may have come out just recently? I don't know.
I don't think you can read while you're playing it, if that's what you're asking. But
possibly.
Who would want to do anything while you're reading anyway?
I tell you what, I had a little trouble with work meets recreation Friday as I was trying to review the new Bard app, professionally, of course.
Same way I feel about Solara. Go ahead.
And I found a really cool book in the most recent editions section called Blind But Now I See, the biography of Doc Watson, who we talked about on one of our previous podcasts. He passed away in 2012. And blind guitarist, folk, country, bluegrass, quite an interesting life back in the 40s and 50s. Talks a little bit about schools for the blind back then and perhaps some conditions that weren't so great and hopefully are better today. But anyway, the app is great. It's easy to use. It's kind of what I expected it to be from the demos and stuff. The surprise for me, even though you can't actually download a book from the Bard site, you almost can because you can, through your iOS device, just click on a link, go to the site, add it to your wish list, and there it is. So it's like the next best thing because I envisioned having to always go to the computer and do stuff and then come back to my app. That's not the case at all.
Yeah, luckily it's not. And the one thing that I am really, really pleased about is the fact that you can listen at 275% normal speed and still not have any distortion. 275% normal speed and still not have any distortion. I don't
machine
know.
Machine language person you, I swear. Just
I don't know if you can. Here. I don't know if you get distortions if you listen any faster than that. But I found my groove and my speed, and I read "Bang Your Head," which was a history of heavy metal. So you know, kind of cool to be able to read this thing about music and skip through chapters if I wanted, and rewind and hear parts of it again very easily, and. I haven't put it on my iPhone 4 yet, but that is probably where it will reside if it works well there, because I've talked on the show before about wanting a separate device for reading books, because on my main phone, I'll be getting text messages or email or calls or whatever that takes me out of the reading experience, and I don't want that. So to still be able to have it
into a standalone player.
Absolutely. That's actually pretty cool.
It's currently my alarm and my music player for when I have a Bose sound dock and it doesn't have a lightning connector. So I just use Pandora or whatever internet radio stations and dock my 4. So it's the music player, it's the alarm, and now it may be the book reader too.
Well, you said finding things. You know, one of the things I enjoyed on Twitter, in the humorous way that I enjoy Twitter, people couldn't find the NLS Bard mobile app. That was fun to watch.
That was fun to watch, and you were getting all sorts of actually not so good instructions where they'd say, search for Bard Mobile, all one word, except if you did that, you got some sort of transit app. And, you know, I wonder how many people were disappointed. Hey, I downloaded this thing and it's telling me that I need to catch in 20 minutes, but I don't have any books.
Something I think would be awesome if they do, and I would understand if they don't, but I think it would be neat if they would kind of gamify this thing a little bit. Some badges, the ability to share what you're reading to Twitter and Facebook.
Audibleize it, in other words.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And even for young people, if you want to encourage young people to read, you know,
so you're telling
NLS
a government
content.
Organization to become hip and cool.
I know, that's a pretty good stretch, isn't
it? I am looking forward
to
that.
28 years, we're gonna see that.
That is going to be something amazing. The same way that the irony that this comes out at the same time that the last of the handy cassettes left Louisville this week.
Oh, no.
On the same day, practically, same day. As the Bard Mobile app.
Yep.
Wow.
Those handy cassette players,
strange.
I'm kind of sad to see them go, even though I don't record on cassettes anymore or anything like that. Those were really, really great to be able to record things because you could record on four tracks. You could record at, you know, slower speed
Super
or normal
slow speed.
Yes, you could.
If you had some, you could actually put the tone in it too. So if you fast forward, it kind of
you could do that. It had the little tone button right on the back of the thing. And you could, well, it was handy to carry around. So, I mean, so easy to capture just about anything you wanted to.
Yes.
It was part of the arsenal. I mean, you had that on your tool belt. With so many other things that we used to carry back then. But yeah, and it's just hard to think of. Somebody actually wrote me on Twitter and said, well, it's not like they're making cassettes. And I was like, well, yeah, but I'm still recording on Talking Book Topics from like October, you know, 1992 or something when I used to get it on cassette. Free cassettes! Yes, I admit it. I was one of those people. I need just 30 minutes.
So you have a mixtape now that's recorded on one of those and you have little spots between the songs where you might hear RC452, and then it starts the next song.
No, but it was easy to remember. I made you a mixtape. Yes, it says November 1992, but yeah, no, it's perfect. It's great. I didn't relabel it. It's awesome. Government money wasted.
You are so very cool. You know, audiobooks are cool too, though.
Agreed.
Very cool.
So are bow ties. Bow ties are cool.
Yes. Okay, maybe no. But audiobooks, definitely, yes. Especially according to this article that we have talking about audiobooks. And they spoke to a gentleman from Audible and actually got some numbers to corroborate this. Audiobooks are being read more and more by a wider variety of people. Namely, you're going to see a lot of commuters reading audiobooks. Now you can get them digitally, you can get them on your phone, so it's not like you're just playing them on a tape player back in the olden days or a CD player now. Now you can have them on your phone, your MP3 player of choice, or even on your computer. So not only are people in their 30s and 40s and older reading this stuff, as kind of used to be the case where audiobooks, you'd think of, okay, self-help titles or, you know, the latest New York Times bestseller that you read on the way to work. Now the 20-somethings are doing this too. So you might think they're sitting there jamming to some random popular artist that I can't think of at the moment. No,
you didn't use the words one and or direction. I'm very shy.
I did not. I was deliberately trying to avoid that. And then the only other things I could think about were just as scary. So I decided not to name any.
And she didn't use the word twerking in a sentence. That's also very impressive.
Impressive.
Unfortunately, you did this podcast.
Yeah, well,
if it is derailed,
it's all
your fault.
Social maven that would do that. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's me. The mainstream, once again, making something that we benefit from cool and wonderful, the same way that Siri made dictation normal. It wasn't something that the handicap would use. It's something that everybody would use. So yeah, one of those things, again, where we have to let it get into the mainstream, let them realize, yeah, this is really cool technology and it doesn't make me any different than anybody else. And Audible, you know, bless them, that's what really started this trend. Leo Laporte always talking about how he used Audible going back 14 years practically, because he was using it on his commute to Tech TV and ZDNet.
All this talk about cool technology makes me, for some reason, it makes me think of iOS 7.
Really?
iOS 7? You want to talk about iOS 7?
Yes, I really want to talk about iOS 7. Can we do that, please?
Okay, let's talk about iOS 7.
Joe, I'm pretty sure you haven't updated any devices to iOS 7 this week.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Ricky, have you updated anything?
You know what? I haven't. And it's not, I can't even really explain why. It was kind of the first day I had made a decision, no, I'm not going to update today. And I watched as the App Store kept crashing and, you know, everybody kept saying, I can't get it. It's at 33%. And I just kind of ran away from all technology and said, you know, I'll come back tomorrow. And tomorrow happened and I was just like, I don't have time to pay attention to what's new here. And I know that there are some things that I will like, but I'm just not, I don't want to, I'm not in the mood to update to iOS 7. So
remember when it used
to
be fun to look forward to an operating system update and then Windows happened and...
I think this is the first time that I haven't updated on release day, and I'm just going to wake up randomly one day and think, all right, I'm ready now. It just, it hasn't happened yet.
I did, and I will tell you that it has slowed my 4S down some.
Yikes.
And your battery life?
That's not as, the first day, it just like disappeared. I mean, it was at 100%, and then when I went to bed a couple hours later, it was at 50, and I thought, whoa. But I haven't seen that happen since. Well, first of all, I backed up to my Mac, which I had not done up to this point. It's everything's been backed up to the PC or you know, iCloud.
Much better
when
experience
I plugged it into the Mac, when I plugged
that...
it into the Mac, it just saw it. I didn't have to erase any. That was awesome.
Hey, I got a phone.
Yeah,
Jamie's iPhone is right here.
Yeah, my Mac is my iOS docking station. That's pretty much
for sure.
I will Windows iTunes arf no.
It was fun to try to actually, well, first of all, you couldn't get into the App Store even to like download Skype, and Siri was just kind of dead for a while. It was kind of amusing.
And it went across, too, because the release of iTunes 11.1 also did the same thing, where I was just trying to actually update my Mac randomly, and I totally had forgotten that it was iOS update day, and because I saw something about iTunes, and I was like, huh, that seems to be running really slow.
Yep.
I have an iBooks update on my phone that has been installing for like 5 days now, and it's still
those
not
are some
doing
big books.
Anything. Yeah.
So, anything you guys want to ask me? Because I'm like the only one who's actually taken the plunge.
How's Control Center?
Control Center is cool, although I haven't used it all that much. That's what's funny. It's there, and I like it, and it looks really nice, but I just...
new app switcher?
Yeah. App switcher is awesome. App switcher, the ability to quickly and easily close many, many apps. I like the fact that it tells you that an app is running when you flick. That is
pretty
nice.
Yeah, that is kind of new.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, welcome to Android.
And the snark just keeps coming. How about, have you noticed any issues with focus or problems kind of with the touchscreen and things being more sluggish or not responding in the way that you expect them to?
A little bit. I've noticed some of the sluggishness and not responding occasionally. I've also seen a little bit of what people are reporting. For example, if I swipe left across the phone to go to page 2, there have been a couple times when I've ended up on page 3. And I actually heard it go, whoosh, whoosh, you know, do its little noise 2 times.
Phantom
so
firing.
I knew that focus had jumped me. It wasn't that I was just overzealous and...
Which voices are you using? Are you Compact or the new ones?
I am Compact, actually. I am Samantha Compact. People are reporting differences in the voice. It will be interesting for Patrick to weigh in on this. I don't notice any difference at all in Samantha. There might be some, but nothing in the Compact voice that I can really tell, honestly.
She still sucks.
Oh, well, does she?
All right.
Well, there is that.
There is no surprise there.
The Australian voice is completely broken all kinds of fun ways. It cuts off the ends of words. Now you have Wi-Fi. You have Wi-Fi. instead of Wi-Fi, all kinds of cool things like that. That's cool because that's the voice I use.
Yeah.
And which is kind of annoying. The British voice is now even more squished. If you happen to have an Apple TV and you live in the UK, you are probably not going to want to actually use your Apple TV very much. You'll probably want to like throw it against the wall.
And you might want to not do that update because it's bricking Apple TVs, the latest.
The couple of people I know in England that have managed to have non-bricked Apple TVs with that OS have complained to me, and with good reason, that voice really got squished.
Hey, stop talking about me like I'm not here. I'm just going to keep this pillow on my face and ignore you all.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, the lock screen does some weird things sometimes. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, that's why they came out with a 7.01 patch to get rid of some of the hacks.
Yeah, if you've got a 5S or 5C.
If you've got a... Right.
What about FaceTime audio? I was going to ask you about that, Patrick.
FaceTime audio is awesome.
This is what I've heard.
Yeah, I need to play with that.
It is cool. The thing that's really nice about it is with regular FaceTime, you can minimize it and make the video go away, and it doesn't send video, but this is actually higher quality audio. Plus, it connects like super fast. When you make a phone call, even just a regular phone call, it takes a little while to connect. This thing is like ring, click, hello. You're like there. It's pretty cool. It's a nice 48 kilohertz audio in your face.
So
literally.
A little better than, say, I don't know, some S-word program.
Yes, definitely.
Just establishing.
And it uses the same amount of bandwidth for,
Good to know.
It's definitely in that realm of WhatsApp, where you've got, you know, more and more of these, you know, messaging clients adding in voice, text. So you have iMessage and FaceTime audio and more ways to eat up your data plan and less cell phone minutes. And that, you know, that's kind of funny too, because the new iPhone commercials are, there's one called Hello and it's everybody talking on their phone. And I thought the phone app was like the least used thing on the iPhone. That's what they're going to market it as.
Well, now with FaceTime being even more integrated, which is kind of funny because it's more integrated, but now it's a separate app sort of.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, it is a separate app.
Because it's its own service, I guess.
And the way it works is you have FaceTime that's actually, you know, it's its own icon and everything, but it's also integrated. But if you go to just the FaceTime thing, you can have, like, FaceTime-specific favorite contacts, and you can have, like, audio-only favorites or video favorites, and that's separate from the phone favorites, even though they're actually still in the same contact list. It's kind of weird, but it works.
One of the things that's not so integrated anymore, and I thought would be cool in a way, in a way it is, but... Because Siri is not as closely integrated with VoiceOver
anymore.
Siri
is not integrated at all. What are you talking about?
Thank
with
you.
VoiceOver?
Yes, this is correct. And the thing that you have lost is when Siri is waiting for something, you don't get those clicks anymore.
Oh, no.
So you don't know if something is wrong, or you don't know anything until
That's
Siri.
Like using Chrome with VoiceOver, and you don't get that either. It's like, did I go to the page? What happened? Are you finished loading? Yeah.
Right.
And the other thing that you've lost, which everybody was all excited to have lost, but I don't think I'm going to like it, where you say something, Siri reads back to you what you said and then gives you the answer. Sometimes it's helpful to know what she thinks you said, because you may have totally said something different, and you know, she just gave you football scores and you were asking for something that was not related at all.
Yeah.
I was asking about Pizza Hut. Pizza Hut. Jabba the Hutt is in the Star Wars movies.
But I probably will someday. Yeah.
Well, another thing that you lost that some people are annoyed about, and I'm personally not, is the fact that the VoiceOver sounds are no longer muted when you press when you turn the mute switch. It's now its own item in the rotor.
Right.
That's kind of neat.
And I actually like that off anyway. And that was a bad thing with me, is I would keep my phone on mute most of the time.
Right.
Because I didn't really necessarily want VoiceOver sounds, and then I would miss calls and stuff. So now I don't have that problem anymore.
Yeah, now you can just turn those off whenever you want.
Some people with Bluetooth keyboards are reporting that VoiceOver doesn't silence when hitting the control key. That's
correct.
Icky.
I've seen that.
I haven't had that one.
Bluetooth connection, actually. I've seen some people complaining about that in iOS 7 on older devices.
Definitely not having that one. I had a Bluetooth keyboard yesterday on the other side of the house upstairs that was still perfectly connected just fine, with the keyboard on screen not being visible when I wanted to enter my password.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yay.
I had to like go all the way over there and turn the keyboard off so I could like unlock my phone and stuff.
iTunes Radio. Any opinions?
Yeah.
Never tried it.
The thing that it does when you first enter a station that kind of freaked me out until I figured out what it was doing. I don't know if you try their featured stations, if this is the case or not, but like say you want rock and then maybe classic rock for the subgenre. When you activate the station, it does a seek, or it scans and lets you hear previews of tracks until you say, yeah, go ahead and add that station.
Oh,
well, that's cool.
I like that.
Except if you don't know what it's doing, you're like, whoa.
Like, why
would you just stop? What are you doing? That happened on the new stereo that my folks got for their new truck. They actually didn't know how to turn the seek feature off, so it was going up several hundred XM satellite stations.
Oh, man.
I just got a bit of my favorite song and I can't go back.
Where was that?
Now it's scanned through seven stations, all of which were playing One Direction.
Well, this will shock everyone, but Facebook done broke notifications.
Yeah.
You can't see notifications anymore.
Yeah, interestingly enough, I saw several people posting on Twitter, and I was sad to see that Facebook broke on the phone, but they were saying, hey, I'm using the SamNet Socializer because the Facebook app broke on my phone.
Okay.
Well, that's a good idea, but otherwise, walk away from Facebook. This is your opportunity to put down the pipe, put down the crack, walk away from Zuckerberg. This is your opportunity. And use Twitter with the SamNet Socializer.
Candy Crush.
Or iBlink Radio. Jamie, we did something really cool with iBlink, didn't we?
We did. Actually, we put a folder on the front page of iBlink Radio called iOS 7 Resources, and we have several things, several articles from this podcast, actually, in there, some blog posts, some a couple other things to add. So some Siri tips I'm going to put in there, or a list of commands for Siri, that sort of thing. There's a lot of good stuff in there and more to come. So I suspect when Mavericks comes out, we may do something similar then as
could
well.
Could be possible, yeah. I wish we had recorded High Contrast after the iOS 7 update, because pre-iOS 7, which is what we did before the podcast kind of recorded kind of thing, Rodney was very upbeat. Byron was very upbeat. If you follow those guys on Twitter and you follow a couple other people on AppleVis, the low vision users for iOS 7 are none too pleased, so much so that my good friend Rodney was saying things like he wasn't going to update some of his devices because he had issues with a lot of the things listed in this article we have in the show notes, but even more so, things like the keyboard were really difficult to read for him now. And again, this is subjective because everybody with low vision is kind of a little different about how they view things or how much text they can view. It was already kind of worrying about the change in fonts and the Easter egg-y type colors, which actually look a lot like Google now. But I could actually see how a lot of my friends are having some trouble with this. Ironically enough, I'm the one who says, this is your perfect time for you to learn VoiceOver, because that's how I run my devices with VoiceOver and TalkBack by default. I don't even try and rub my nose up against it or anything like that. That's kind of silly. I can read it faster with audio than I can trying to go 3, 6. No, wait, that's an 8. No. But definitely keep an eye on this. There are some articles that I've seen coming out for regular individuals who are finding ways to put the bold text back into iOS, because iOS 7 running on non-Retina screens is said to be absolutely terrible by those who are doing so in the low vision community. And another reason for why Apple always does make the software for the newest hardware, and the older hardware just may have some problems. There's some articles we tweeted out from Triple Click Home from Ars Technica about running iOS 7 on an iPad 2 or Ricky's 4, which may never see iOS 7.
Put it on there, but rumor has it I probably shouldn't. So I probably won't. I think I'll just leave it to run iOS 6 forever and ever, because it's still a very viable piece of hardware using that particular OS. And I don't want to have it slow down a lot, because I already notice a big difference when I switch between my 5 and my 4S. And when I'm typing something on the keyboard, it already feels very sluggish to me in terms of responsiveness. And I think that would really be a problem with iOS 7.
So you might be using iOS 7 without the iPhone 4? Aha, like a book title, sort of.
Yeah. Nice. like a book title we discussed or that was discussed in Triple Click Home episode 22.
Yeah. So also, if you want to know about the fingerprint sensor on the iPhone, you can check out a demo that Liam Irvin did on how to actually set that up. Sounds very straightforward. Sounds very easy from a voiceover.
Place your finger. Lift your finger. Place your finger. Lift your finger. Like 12 times.
Give the finger. Yeah. Shoot the finger. I like the cat's paw one we tweeted out last weekend. So it'll recognize several animals' appendages. There were other body parts that can be used. Yeah, there's a tweet from that on Triple Click Home from yours truly. Somebody over at a gaming site tested something and it was like, oh, well, that works. And who knew?
Nice. Yeah.
There's already cracks. People are claiming to have already cracked the touch print. See, TechCrunch had something about how one company already lifted a fingerprint from a surface and then mirrored it and put it in front of the touch sensor and it unlocked it. A German company is claiming that they've figured out how to get to the data. It's like we said on this show a couple of weeks ago, the hacks are on, man. You throw the gauntlet down and woohoo, people come out of the woodwork.
And then there is the one unfortunate bug that Apple definitely has not fixed. And Jonathan Mosen took them to task a little bit on Triple Click in the interview and more in a blog post that we point to, how that the Braille crisis, it needs to be fixed for education purposes, especially. Apparently this is, and I don't use a Braille display with my Apple, my iOS device, but if you are typing and you type a P for people and you wait, or like if you're going to type a word that has a P in it, like, I don't know,
perhaps
PAL, P-A-L.
Yeah, there you go.
Perhaps. That's a good one. And you type the letter P, if you wait too long, it decides very helpfully that you wanted to type the word people. And it expands that. Well, no, that wasn't exactly what you wanted to do. And this seems like something that surely Apple has been told about by now, and I don't understand why it's still a problem.
They have been told about it quite a lot, and Mr. Mosen makes reference to a presentation that Judy Dixon did at CSUN talking about it. Several,
it was all the rage at convention.
Users
there were several manufacturers
it.
Talking about it too.
Yeah, Humanware and Hims have talked about using their displays with the device and how this is kind of a known issue, and they've attempted to communicate with Apple and it hasn't changed yet. Well, it has, question mark. They tried to fix this in iOS 7 by allowing you to turn off that auto translation. That sounds like a great thing. The only problem is that if you do turn that off, you apparently can't read the word that you're typing on the display until you've pressed the space bar. So it'll stop translating, but it'll stop showing you stuff too. And that's kind of not a good thing.
Not really.
And, you know, Jonathan says something that I tend to agree with for the most part, and that is people are looking, administrators, educators, and the like, are looking to have the iPad and a Braille display be the tool that a student uses in the classroom pretty much exclusively. And the problem with that is that, you know, there is this Braille challenge to deal with. And you don't see that with a laptop and a Braille display, and you don't, of course, see that in a traditional note taker either. So if Apple has done so much of what it has done in order to be a viable solution in the education space, then this is one of those things that has to be addressed if they expect the iPad to be your one-stop shopping for everything, which I'm not entirely sure is a good idea at this point.
Right. We've had several people on this network. I'm thinking Byron, recently Greg Stilson from Humanware on that Android show, and some others talking about how Android is really working towards Braille, and that Braille back in some cases is better. Byron did that in his demonstration of iPad Mini versus Nexus 7 and why he preferred in some ways that the Braille was working better on Android. So I like that there's a competition here. I like that there's choices, but there isn't a lot you can do about it but complain to Apple, which is kind of one of the downsides, as opposed to working your way about it in BrailleBack or finding a way to make BrailleBack work for you or submitting more stuff so other developers can work with BrailleBack to fix any of the issues.
In terms of communicating with Apple, it may be a little bit easier than it was once upon a time, because now Tim Cook has a Twitter account. We have an article here talking about Apple goes on charm offensive with new iPhone launch. And when I first read that, I was thinking of the Windows charm bar. And I was
charm
like,
bar.
What are they going to do with that?
Why are they using a charm bar? And why isn't his Twitter account Tim Cook busy?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But no, it's basically they're trying to make Apple a little more accessible, a little more in touch with people, and maybe not so closed off and secretive. So Tim Cook made his first tweet on the iOS 7 launch day, and his account was verified fairly shortly after that. So now if you have something you've always wanted to say to Tim Cook, you can break all that into 140 character chunks and see how far you get.
Somebody on staff will read it for him and get back to you.
Yes.
I followed him. He has not followed me back yet. I'm crushed.
What do you mean?
I'm telling you. How doesn't he recognize?
Wow.
I swear.
Triple click home. I mean, man, I'm sure he listens to that podcast.
Oh, yeah. Well, no. See, I understand why he hasn't followed you back or triple click home. And it's because the accounts haven't been verified. So he doesn't want to follow anybody but the real Jamie Falls, right?
Okay. Gotcha.
That's true. There you go. Okay. And you didn't make a bid on coffee. So if you'd make
he might be a little hurt by that.
Coffee. Yeah, that would have been total. If you'd had your icon be just a picture of a mug and some dollar signs, you would have been like totally set.
Yeah.
Well, coming up after the break, we're going to talk more numbers, and Ricky's long lost search is over, and Jamie is going to go fasting. We'll find out why. All that and more Apple stuff on Saratalk 170.
Are you tired of browsing through thousands of sites just to find the news you want? What about recipes, shopping, radio stations? Wouldn't it be great if there was a single place where you could find all these things and a lot more? There is. Discover Samnet, with the widest and most complete content ever assembled for the blind community. And speaking of community, you can use Samnet's voice chat, instant messaging, and users forums to communicate with family, friends, and others who share your interests. To learn more about Samnet, please visit www.serotech.com. That's www.serotech.com. Or call us toll-free at 866-202-0520. We're Serotech, the Accessibility Anywhere people.
Welcome back to Saratalk 170. And, you know, we're standing at the numbers period in which Apple then goes off and says, we sold a zillion things, and it's the most things we ever sold before. 9 million iPhones. Let's harness that for a second. 9 million iPhones. We don't know, like the iPad mini launch, how many of those were iPad Maxi and how many of those were iPad mini. Same thing here. We don't know how many were in the iPhone C versus the iPhone S. We just know that they sold iPhones. Also, this was a worldwide launch, one of the first times that Apple's had launches in multiple countries with multiple phones. And the gold iPhone, big surprise when you've only been offering like one or two colors. The new color is selling very, very well over the space gray and the other colors that are available for iPhone 5S. Yellow seems to be the color of choice mostly for the iPhone 5C crowd. And there seems to be a already selling out of the iPhone 5S, especially in gold, moving all the way back to mid-October to late October. So if you were selling your device, you might want to hold off on that unless you want to go without an iPhone for a little bit of time. The questions I have, being who I am, are this is launch, right? Does this continue on to the next quarter? Because there are a lot of people who wait until the cycle. Traditionally, iPhone sales tank from June, July, and August because everybody's waiting for the new iPhone. Moreover, 200 million devices have already upgraded to iOS 7. So that's 9 million of those 200 million are iPhone 5-ish or above, or 5C, 5S. So you have to convince those other guys who have 5s, 4Ss, 4s, and iPads to come along to the next one. So what do we think? Is this better than expected, average than expected?
I think you always have to expect the first day of an Apple new device to be really, really good. And it was. So yeah. I'm not surprised. There seems to be some surprise that the gold model was as popular as it was. I don't know that Apple expected that, honestly.
Yeah, I don't think they did. And I sort of wondered, because I was surprised based on, I mean, it's funny. Online, you look around and you have all these people saying, there's nothing new in this thing. I don't want it. I'm bored. You know, this is last year's tech and Apple's going downhill and blah, blah, blah. And they can't do anything right. And so everywhere you saw that, and there were a few kind of voices in the wilderness saying, no, no, we still like it. I'm going to get one. But they weren't the majority, at least from my perspective. And then when these phones started selling, you couldn't tell that people were disappointed by it because they were lining up everywhere. Yeah, I know I said I hated it, but basically what I meant is I want one.
Yeah.
Well, Robert Carter got a 5S, and Liam, you said, got one. Mm-hmm. Pete Bosley did not upgrade this cycle, which is mind-numbingly unheard of on this particular show. We are stunned because we thought we could get at least, you know, something out of Pete's, you know, whether you liked it, didn't like it, touch, you know, touch finger ID sensor, da-da-da-da-da. And Pete's like, I think I'm going to skip this one and wait till the 6. So with that in mind and our regularly occurring segment, what would Jamie do? Jamie, it's been a week. Feeling peer pressure? Buddy got one. Buddy got his.
I'm more likely to upgrade to a 5S now, especially because I could go down right now, I think, back to 6 on the 4S. I kind of don't want to do that. I'm at the point, so if I had a 5, I probably wouldn't consider upgrading. But since I've got a 4S, I am considering it in December, going ahead and upgrading to the 5S. My wife loves her.
Skipping what the 6 might bring. Oh.
Yeah, but if your phone is feeling sluggish, you know, how intentional is that? We don't know, but if it's
feeling sluggish. Life got you down. Your phone feeling sluggish.
Yeah.
Grab an iPhone 5S.
Yeah.
Or that's the Pro model. You can go with the non-MacBook Pro model and go with the plasticky MacBook and go with the 5C, which
never
I don't
even
think
considered it.
Do. Yeah, I think the only reason people would do the 5C is A, they're conscious of that $100, or B, it's like going to a sold out movie and you're already there and you go, yeah, I guess we'll just go ahead and see something. Give me one of those 5Cs. It just seems wrong. And I did tell this to Buddy and Pete. I feel like the iPhone 5S is the MacBook Pro Retina thing all over again, with the MacBooks just being your C.
Yeah. Well, you know, there is a bit of good news. We've been a little bit bummed today, perhaps, about iOS 7 and all that good stuff. Not totally discouraged, but there is one thing that I'm actually quite interested in. And that is a new technology that Apple has introduced in iOS 7 that is going to allow for the devices to check your Wi-Fi and your cellular network, figure out which one of them has a connection at any given time, and then switch accordingly. And we have an article here that talks about this possibly being a ticket to the internet. And right now, Siri is the only thing that is taking advantage of this technology. But imagine listening to your favorite podcast and for some reason your Wi-Fi is a little weak or whatever, and you don't ever notice that you've got a problem because it immediately just picks up on your cell data and then you can't figure out why you've just overused your
I was going to say, you don't notice you have a problem until you hit your data cap and they go, you just ran out of data.
The John McCain feature of doing automatic updates and, you know, you get like a big 100 meg update kind of thing. And how did I just eat 100 meg? Oh, automatic updates are on
iOS
Wi-Fi, 7.
But I guess I wasn't. Yeah, this is called multipath TCP. And I see how it can be really, really useful. I love the idea. But again, my concern would be switching to 3G without some sort of warning. Hey, by the way, you just lost Wi-Fi, so I'm going to pick this up. And it could even do it fairly unobtrusively if you had a sound or a something, just so you know, hey, the switch happened. So you're not like, all righty, I'm going to continue watching this, you know, 4 gig movie and everything is good.
It's like a roaming noise. You're roaming. No, I don't. Yeah. I don't care if I'm roaming. Just shut up. Just shut up.
Just play my movie.
I don't know that I like this because I know where they're going, right? The Touch ID, iBeacons, all of this is moving more and more and more to iPhones, just broadcasting constantly. AirDrop. I just, it means your phone is always just yelling to the world, I'm here, come get some data, I'm looking for your data. I don't like
but,
this.
But I mean, how is that any different than what Google's doing with Google Now and all that good fun stuff?
Well, Google is more nefarious, actually, in a way, because Google has always been looking at your Wi-Fi stuff. You actually have to agree now to Google to say, hey, do you mind if we kind of watch Wi-Fi things as you're walking past? And we're going to always be listening,
triangulation. Keep this microphone on the Moto X. So.
Yep, and iPhone 5s do that. iPhone 5 kind of pays attention to all of that because there's some patents that Apple has to actually do indoor mapping based off of audio that it receives, based off of Wi-Fi sniffing, based off of the way that your location movement is. It knows that there are stairs because you walked up, stairs and your phone changed, and shifted positions.
So they all do it. It's not, this isn't Apple's is evil kind of thing. Ahead. Google is not.
Apple's ahead of it. Yeah, Apple's ahead because they control the hardware and the software. You know, Google has to convince other guys to go and do, other stuff. It was like we were talking about last week with 64-bit. You know, that was never a big issue for anybody until somebody wanted to break down that barrier because nobody really needed it. Apple sort of wanted that so they could have coprocessors and better encryption and all of that. I, again, like the idea of NFC. I like the idea of Google buying Bump because there's a physical act that has to happen for me to transfer data to you and Jamie. Mm-hmm. And Apple is just broadcast aware, and that is easier for the user, but the part in me that believes in conspiracies just doesn't like the idea that the unit is always continuously doing something. And if it's, system service level, I don't know that unless Apple gives me the ability to go in and turn those features off from settings. So me being the curmudgeon that I'm normally accused of being.
Well, why don't we just go back to the days of dial-up internet?
Let's do it.
Everything was so much better then.
Safer.
Took us 18 days to download a song.
My 9600 bot beats your 4800.
Well, my 56K modem totally kicks the pants off your 28.8. I used to be able to tell what kind of connection it was going to make. Because if you had a 28.8 modem, sometimes it couldn't connect at that. So it would drop back to 19.2 or, heaven forbid, 14.4. And you could immediately tell as you start hearing this carrier, oh, no, it's connecting too low. I got to call back.
Modems used to have speakers on them, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, they did. So you could hear the phone number being dialed. You could mute that if you wanted, but you could hear that connection being established. And 3% of American adults are still clinging to that lovely modem sound and all of the other wonderful things that it does. Yes, there are still people on dial-up.
Using AOL.
Yeah, Earthlink. So $9.95 a month would get you that, and you're not going to be doing much if you're on dial-up. I mean, I really do shudder to think. Like, if you went to Facebook
the average
on dial-up,
web page is 1 MB.
Yeah.
So you try to open this thing, and it's like, all right, I'm going to go to work, and when I get back home at 5 this afternoon, that
I'm order this pizza, and when the pizza gets here, the page will be loaded. And
Wow.
But people do this, I think, partly because some people just really don't care. They want to be able to send, text, email, and that's it.
Facebook.
No, I can't imagine. Even Facebook Mobile, that would load very slowly. That's not going to happen. You're not going to be playing
Instagram integration.
You're not going to be playing Candy Crush on dial-up. But some people do it, I guess, because they're in rural areas and there's not really, like, you have no choice. You either have dial-up or bust.
Right. And, you know, that's a sad thing in this country because we have an article here that talks about not fast enough, not broad enough, the U.S. internet in 2013. I spoke with some people last night who are missionaries to Zambia, and apparently over there you can call on a cell phone either across the street or to the U.S. and only pay 17 cents a minute.
Interesting.
It's more expensive to call from the States there than it is to call from there here.
Oh, wow.
Microsoft is actually playing around with white spaces, which is the old television signals that we got rid of. And both Microsoft and Google have been looking into white space for a very long time. I've been following this since I was still at the Assistive Technology Unit at DARS. Mm. And the idea that you would have television broadcast signal-ish kind of things, but really be more for data. And you can have really good broadband speeds into countries that you just can't get cell towers up or the lines up in. The downside is that the spectrum is actually used by PA systems and churches and others. Yeah.
So you may have to.
Yeah. And they actually spent a good, almost like a year working on the technology for it to look around to see if there were somebody using those devices and then dynamically reroute you to another frequency to get you away from it. And that was one of the bigger problems. Ars Technica has had some really good articles about this. Tom Merritt often talks about white spaces. And so that kind of gives you an idea of ways that we can kind of work around this to get, because here in the town that I'm in outside of Houston, the AT&T repairman has told me on multiple times when he's come out to work on my DSL that they're not going to upgrade the infrastructure here, that their philosophy at AT&T was they're going to use some form of broadcast internet, and that they already have the towers. They already have everything laid out for all the electricity needed, rather than dig up lines and rewire the town. It made no financial sense to them. And that's part of the problem with some of the information in this article that Jamie has linked here in the show notes at serotalk.com is, if you're going to rewire, say, you know, Lubbock to El Paso, it's much easier just to find relay stations that already exist to broadcast that stuff back and forth or use some form of satellite.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Google's looking at the balloons, Project Loon.
Yes.
Where there are low-altitude balloons that are just floating up there that are broadcasting the internet up and down back to you. They're experimenting with that in parts of California, say like mountainous ranges or wildlife parks where you would not normally have the internet.
And Facebook, we haven't said anything nice about them in this program, but Mark Zuckerberg has also talked about wanting to bring the internet to, you know, basically the two-thirds. Is it two-thirds? It's some very shocking number of or amount of people throughout the world who are not connected. So it'll be interesting to see where this goes. You know, maybe BlackBerry, they could do something like this. They're, you know.
Sure, they could. They just sold their corporate jet, so they won't be flying to other companies. They'll be going coach, I imagine. Yeah, and they have a lot less employees to worry about since they're probably dropping about 40% of them. And the iOS and Android apps were stalled in their rollout because there was a problem with the leak on Android. And boy, it just really stinks to be BlackBerry right
now.
Yeah,
it does.
Wow, they are making themselves all pretty. They're putting on the makeup and their best dress because they want to be sold by November, is what their board said. And so getting rid of some of the jobs here is a way to making them more attractive to prospective buyers. But at the same time, the ugly wart that is their BBM Messenger launch kind of makes that a little bit of a, I think you have some spinach between your teeth. So we'll see. But chances are we'll run out of BlackBerry jokes on this program by November because they'll end up probably getting sold. The sad thing was is that someone has done a cursory look at their patents and felt like they were not as sale worthy as they once were, and that if they were to have sold, they should have done it a year ago. All that on top of, hey, we released a new phablet. It's the Z30.
Oh, yeah, it's like, that happened.
Wow. So those of you still working at BlackBerry stores, here's some new inventory.
And maybe if you just
for you to hang on to.
Exactly.
and here's some new dust wipes. Just go ahead and mark those on down, and you can put them in all sorts of neat geographical pyramid shapes so you can try and attract customers with your stacking skills.
That's right. Yeah. And maybe if you just got laid off from BlackBerry, you could like send your resume over to Microsoft and go, hey, I used to work at BlackBerry, and now can you make me the Microsoft CEO? Because I'd like that. I'd be good at it.
Yeah, because they're still looking.
Yeah.
But like which part of Microsoft? Because it looks like maybe there might be more than one now.
Yeah, well, it looks like there are five kind of business divisions in Microsoft. And the breakdown here was really interesting because, I don't know, I always think Microsoft, okay, yeah, Windows, and then I kind of think of the other stuff. But no, Windows is actually the third of five divisions, so it does not take up the biggest slice of the pie. What does is Microsoft Office, and that is followed fairly closely by basically the server and tools division. So enterprise is a huge deal at Microsoft. And then coming in at third, you got Windows, and then there's the entertainment, and then at like 4%, there's Bing and searches and things. So,
but we make fun of Bing, but Bing's really a big part of their strategy. It's you know, as we talked about with Cortana last week, Bing is in the Xbox, Bing is on Windows Phone, Bing is inside Windows, Bing powers your iDevices for search. You know, Bing is sort of kind of there. And yeah, they only have like 17 to 25% of the search market, but there is some competition there. It's not all Google. Google's still kind of sort of in there with 67%. The thought I had, Ricky, was there were a bunch of people and they all like blindfolded and put their hands in a hat and went, ooh, I get services. Yay. You know, it's, but Julie Larson Green got a move up, and Stephen Olop, who just came over from the Nokia purchase, gets kind of a seat at the table. Microsoft is definitely going in a direction. They're just not really letting us all know what that direction is. There still is no word on the Steve Ballmer exit watch. Stephen went on to talk about the Surface 2, which was announced and has a new cover that's kind of like a book that goes around the Surface 2 that gives it extra battery life. They came out with a docking station for the Surface Pro and the Surface 2. We'll have more specs on that next week. But Microsoft, not done with the Surface, but you will probably be able to find those Surface 1s pretty cheaply, especially moving forward, if they didn't give them all out to education. You know, you talk about Office. There was also talk that Office will be coming to non-Microsoft devices as well. So we will see that sooner rather than later, I imagine. And Office 365 subscriptions, you know, do have some language in the licensing terms that you can have that on up to five devices, be that Macs or Windows devices or iPads or
Androids. I want it on my Xbox, because that's what I use my Xbox for, is documents.
I've got Internet Explorer and SkyDrive on my Xbox. It's not a great feeling.
It's not it's a thing that happened.
Yeah. Maybe it'll be better in Xbox One. Yeah. Krusty is coming. Krusty is coming. Krusty is coming. Simpsons reference. Sorry.
Well, coming up after the break, Joe gets a break from talking about Apple news. Woo-hoo! I'm getting really hungry. And Ricky is hearing voices right here on the Serotalk Podcast 170.
Me, a cat, moving in with a single guy. At first, I thought it might be a little weird, but turns out it's actually pretty amusing. For instance, like my human's gotten so used to me being around, sometimes I think he forgets I'm here. He'll get up for work, shower, shave, and come out with no pants. Plops right down in front of the TV. Hello, there's a lady in the room.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Welcome back to Serotalk Podcast 170C or 170S. You guys take your pick. I just thought we should throw a letter in this time. Just
the S is for sure.
It depends. Are we unapologetically plastic people? Or
I don't know about you, golden? But I am.
I'm golden. I'm golden. I want
to
be golden.
I prefer somehow, some way, the ability to call this color something new, space gray.
Ah, nice. I'll tell you something else new we have. We have a mailbag theme. Let's hear it real quick.
The mailbag.
I report.
The mailbag.
Email.
The mailbag.
Everything else.
The mailbag.
And that brings us into the mailbag.
Oh, looky here. It's chock full of stuff. It's almost like a mailbag pinata, and you hit it, and like all these audio files just come tumbling out. Yes, mail for everyone.
Yay, that's better than having to set up an Apple Care situation with a genius to get your mailbag.
Yeah, there is that.
Yeah, there's definitely that. Serving number 612.
Number 612. That would be Josh calling in.
Hi, guys. This is Josh Andrews in Illinois, and I wanted to comment on Sarah Talk 169 in regards to Braille and the iPhone. You know, as someone who's taught Braille in school, in a lot of ways I resented it because it was big and bulky and slow, but I do believe it is absolutely essential, because if you can't read Braille, then you're illiterate, period. There's no way around that. However, I think there could be a potential future for Braille that doesn't involve paper. I wonder if perhaps 25 to 50 years down the road, maybe we won't be dealing with the expense of creating paper volumes of Braille, but we'll just be using Braille displays instead, and it'll be computer driven and a lot faster that way. In regards to the iPhone, one of the big reasons why I want to get an iPhone 5S personally is I feel like in a lot of ways the 5S and the S releases of iPhones seem to be put out the 5, but this didn't go right. So let's fix it and let's re-release it. So I feel like what I'm getting is not only, you know, a phone with aluminum in it, so less breakable, but also a better version of the 5. So I'll be getting all the good things that I would have gotten with the 5, only even better because I worked all the bugs out of it. Thanks a lot, guys. Keep up the great work. I enjoy all your products and everything. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Josh. Interesting points, both of those. You know, first talking about paper Braille, maybe not going away, but being a lot less prevalent. And I think that's happening partly already. But as Braille displays become more and more affordable, I think we'll see some of that. And your point about the 5S was one that I've never heard made before, you know, considering the S release. So, you know, if you're S people, then you're getting kind of what they got wrong in the 5 or what they got wrong in the 4 that gets fixed in the S version. And again, had never thought of that. So very interesting. Up next, we have an email from Pete Bosley weighing in on the gun discussion. And he says that he's not in favor of laws that preclude owning, carrying, buying, or otherwise, you know, participating with firearms based on their blindness alone. He thinks that it's a fundamental right that people be able to possess a firearm. Having said that, though, owning and using a firearm safely are responsibilities that shouldn't be taken lightly. And he talks about the fact that, yes, bullets can go in weird trajectories if they're bouncing off brick or the like. And those are things that a blind person should be aware of. He says that a blind person should go out and get some quality professional training on how to safely use a firearm. And he would venture to say that they might need 5 to 10 times the amount of training that a sighted person may, just to be able to understand the risks that are involved. And then, of course, it's time to carefully weigh those risks and keep in mind the special limitations of blindness in addition to the other liabilities attending to owning a firearm. So Pete has, you know, some personal experience with owning a firearm and being trained in its use. And it's always good to hear from him. If you want to check out the email in its entirety, it is in the show notes at saratalk.com.
Pete doesn't allude to here, but has in several times offline to me and in other situations. Remember that the care and the servicing and the safety of the weapon in your house is important too, especially if you have other family members or children. Remember that in a lot of cases, the firearm can be used or unfortunately could be, you know, used wrongly by others in the home, or you could actually end up hitting someone in the home accidentally. So those are some serious consequences and thoughts you want to put to before deciding that you want to, you know, look into carrying a weapon of some kind.
Last up, we've got an email from Andrew, and he mentions that one of us were talking about the Apple IIe emulator. Yes, I was really excited about that. And he says, hey, Patrick's probably already having a field day with this. And unfortunately, Patrick isn't yet. Patrick's been locked in a cage doing other things. But we do have a link in the show notes to be able to download the MES emulator, which includes the Echo IIe synthesizer. And I think we should actually play just a bit. For those who have never heard this particular synthesizer, let's get a listen to what we, back in the day, basically did everything on the computer while listening to.
Now hear this. I am an Echo II speech synthesizer. I can speak to you in four different ways.
This is my text-to-speech mode. In this mode I can pronounce most words in my English language. Anything that is printed to the screen, I will say. You can have me speak monotonically. You can make me speak in 63 different levels of pitch. You can make me speak faster. You can also have me whisper. Instead of speaking full words, you can have me S-P-L-L-T-H-E-M period. You are now listening to the phoneme mode. In this mode you control which basic word sounds, phonemes I say. This gives you more exact control of my pronunciation and inflection.
I can now speak in this female voice using the new Echo Words diskette. Echo Words gives you a vocabulary of more than 700 words that you may use in your AppleSoft programs. In addition, you may add an S sound to any word, which gives you an even larger vocabulary to select from. You may also vary the pitch, volume, and how fast a word speaks.
The fourth mode in which the Echo may be used is the custom speech mode.
This mode is being used by numerous leading software manufacturers to create Echo-compatible games and educational software.
I did not do that back in the day,
no?
And listening to that almost made me sad. It's like, oh my goodness, that would have been tedious.
And at the time, hearing it now, it is extremely, you know, so many things are mispronounced and it's so slow. You kind of get slow, fast, and faster. And you think, how did I do that? But at the time, the idea that a computer could talk was such a novel thing. As I was growing up, you know, I started out in second grade on a typewriter and didn't get my hands on a computer until the fourth grade. And here was this device that was different than a typewriter. You pressed keys and it talked to you rather than I just typed half this paper and used up half my correct-a-tape and didn't erase everything I thought I did. And so many issues kind of going along with using a typewriter blind, no pun intended, that you no longer have with the computer. So it didn't matter what it was doing. I mean, I played golf, for goodness sake, on this computer and thought it was the best thing ever. Who would do that? Who likes golf? But it was, this machine can do something in a way that nothing else that I have can. And I see the possibilities here. So that's what made it tolerable, I think.
Historical too. I showed Jenny Axler last week in Houston the Destino games that are available on iOS. Jamie, you did that interview about a year ago or so.
Yeah.
And she had not had experience with that, and it took her a little bit to remember Lemonade Stand
yes.
And some of the other things that Buddy talks about in Triple Click Home on episode 22. And it's just kind of funny because some of these things that we mention in Roundabout really touch some people deeply like the smell of books and conversations we've had. But it's interesting also to have things like here with the Echo that I remember using it and I remember playing some of these things, but to think of some people who've never had the opportunity and now a whole new generation is getting to play these and several other audio games. The ones you talked about, Jamie, on the Mac not too long ago. Yeah, so I mean, there is a really wild thing going on with iOS, and that is it's a game system as well as everything else that it does, be it, you know, if you're using TapTapC or if you're using, you know, documents and doing things with Access Note. On top of all of that, it's turned into a game system with things like Solara and Destino and Zombies Run and others. And that's something new that everybody's now experiencing. So along with the old that everybody's re-experiencing with the Echo, we all are sharing in something new that in about, you know, 5 to 10 years, you know, by the time we're on iOS, whatever, some people will have to re-experience it and you'll be ahead of the curve. It's interesting.
I'll kind of tease you by telling you that next week I have several, a couple at least, game-related articles that we can talk about, and I'll try to find more as the week progresses. Maybe we can have a little game corner in next week's podcast. I know Joe won't be very interested in that. Yeah. Actually, he deserves that because of the whole Apple thing that he had to suffer through this week.
Very, very tough, but the way I look at it is there's 11 more months in the year I can enjoy, so not a problem.
Good, good.
And I have Windows 8.1 next month to look forward to.
Yes.
Yeah, there's that.
Well, we look forward to your emails, resources@saratalk.com, or leave us an iReport on iBlink Radio using your favorite device, either iOS or Android. Go to saratalk.com, leave a comment on our blog, and check out the show notes while you're there. It's time now for Roundabout. Well, you know, there comes a time when you just have to realize, okay, I'm on the internet too much. I check my email at midnight. I check news headlines at 3 a.m.
I sleep texted at 4:30.
Yeah.
I checked in at, you know, Pottery Barn. I checked in at certain places that probably I should have turned Foursquare off on. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those happen. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I need help. I need to go to camp? Really? Camp?
Sure.
How about an internet fasting camp? There is such a thing in Japan, you know.
Way in the mountains where there is no connection.
In Japan, of course. Yeah. I don't know. Japan's always doing interesting Japan. Stuff like this. They are wanting to show that, you know, face-to-face communication is viable and might actually be enjoyable sometimes. So they bring all these kids together with no internet devices, and now you have to actually talk to each other.
What's the emoticon for that?
OMG.
Yeah.
Exactly. I have a smiley face. Hey, I have a little icon like that. That's pretty cool.
I wonder how much that will happen in the conversation where they'll be talking and instead of laughing, lol, you know.
Yeah. Sad face. A book? What's a book? You actually turn pages?
Why would you do such a thing? What is this outside? The only thing I have to look at is the trees, and there aren't any phones in them.
I've worked with summer camps to get inner city kids out to the woods and stuff like that. This feels kind of similar, like you were saying, Jamie, to have actual physical conversations with girls and stuff.
Wow.
And they're actual girls, not some guy pretending to be a girl on the internet.
From behind the keyboard, yeah. It's interesting that internet addiction seems to be a real thing. I think when I first heard about this maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I thought, no, that's not real. You can't be addicted. You just kind of have decided that, you know, this is your lifestyle. But maybe there is some truth to this in that you have that when the rat keeps pushing the button to get more food or get
technology.
More stimulation or whatever.
Yeah,
you kind of it has that reaction in the brain, that pleasure center feedback thing. Now you're refreshing Facebook or refreshing Twitter. Ooh, I got another like. Ooh,
makes
somebody
think
retweeted
of Hitchhiker's
me.
Guide to the Galaxy and the shoe. With all the shoot. And when I get to press the button again, yay! You're not wrong. What was it? There's an actual medical term that came out of the UK for fear of losing your cell phone.
Yeah, you know, I don't remember what the term was, but it does exist.
Phonophobia or something crazy like that. Yeah.
Wow.
I can ask Google. Quick, let me go to the internet.
Turn that off. You're using it too much.
I have a friend who's gone back to college, and when they were talking about researching, the words Wikipedia were ready to fly out of my mouth before I was like, wait.
Weirdly, though, you can use Wikipedia, at least now with my son in middle school. If you're able to cite the website, you can use that. You do have to have some text sources to back it up. But Wikipedia and the internet in general has become sourceable in research, which is a good thing in many cases, and in some cases not so much, because how do you verify the accuracy of it? You know, I read it on the internet, so it must be true. I wrote this whole paper about
your birthday card with all your birthday money is in a book here in the library, and you're gonna need to use the Dewey Decimal System to find that book to be able to get your birthday. It's almost like you have to, is that even worth having a skill in anymore? Remember, oh gosh, looking up periodicals and using the, and of course for some of us with low vision, using the microfiche, those seems like skills that are antiquated and aren't needed or anachronistic. But at the same time, there's some things about those systems that helped me organize, taught me organization, like index cards on how to build a research paper. I may not use index cards anymore, but I still do things in block format, in paragraphs, in a Word doc that is very much like the way that I learned how to do a research paper.
Well, you know, I suppose we could use Siri to help us out a little bit, Ricky. We have this YouTube clip that I kind of stumbled across Friday afternoon late, and I'm curious as to your thoughts as you listen to how speech synthesis is kind of put together.
Well, in this YouTube clip, Samantha is revealed, except maybe not. Yeah. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But I've always found how this is done really fascinating. And the video starts out with the guy talking about how early speech synthesis, you would just be stringing phonemes together, which is fine. You had intelligible speech. But the problem with it was that when you're stringing these phonemes together, there was never any analysis about, now, which thing are you going to speak next? Because the ah sound may sound different if you're saying hot or car. So as they kind of broke these down further, then speech synthesis could get better. Then they go on to talk about getting the voice actor in the studio reading lots of pretty nonsensical sentences because those sentences had the appropriate phonemes that needed to be sampled. They just didn't happen to make sense grammatically or what have you. So that was kind of cool to watch this voice actress do several takes and hear her inflection, which sounded very, very familiar because that same inflection made its way into Siri. Now, the somewhat controversial part is the person interviewed for this Nuance video, her name is Allison Dufty, and it was implied, at least, that she was the voice of Siri, and she does sound remarkably like the voice of Siri, although in my mind there are two differences, one of which is that Siri's voice is a bit lower and raspier than Allison's is naturally, and the other thing has to do with the way that she pronounces her S's. If you listen to the high-quality version of Samantha, not the compact, you don't notice it so much there, but in the higher-quality version of this voice, there is a certain manner in which Samantha pronounces her S's, and that was not present as Allison talked. So Allison sends this retraction saying, you know, I was the voice actor interviewed in this video, but no, it's really not me. I'm not Siri. I can see how you'd think that, but no, I'm really not. And I'm still kind of debating whether she is or not.
Well, here's my theory. I think there are two women in this video. I actually think the first part of it, and I'll need to listen again, and even probably have my wife look at the thing. The first part where the sentences are being read and that sort of thing, and the lady talks about waiting tables originally mm-hmm. and that sort of thing, I think that is the person who we think of as Samantha. She was not named. And then later on, there's another bit of discussion in which the name Allison is mentioned, Allison Dufty. I actually think that's a different person. And I'm wondering if there really are two voice actors in this video. Now, I would have thought that the retraction would have said, there's another person in here, not me.
Right. Or that it would have said, so guess what? Yeah. This person is actually Siri or Samantha. And I am a little bit curious as to why the secrecy, because it's very kind of out in the open.
Looking for her.
Well, it's out in the open that Karen Jacobson, I believe, is the voice of Karen for the Australian voice. So if, and I believe it's known who Daniel is too. So if they're going to be not secretive about that, what's the big deal about Samantha?
Because you have the
people who want to kill Samantha, whereas they don't feel as strongly about the others.
The stalking thing to get this poor woman, and she's aware of that, and she would have to enter witness relocation
witness protection program.
Yeah, she would have to get a whole new life, and after seeing that on Breaking Bad, it looks very, very cumbersome and not necessarily fun. So, yeah, she might be hiding because she knows that Ricky Enger is looking for her. I'm just going to come out and say that.
Coming for you, Samantha.
Lead the charge.
The SPN Detective Agency will be on this story. We will track it down, and we may not identify the person, but we will tell you if there is one or two individuals in
this. There's conventions all over the place for all sorts of things, sci-fi, Stargate, Star Trek. There really needs to be a voice actor convention of some of these people, and Nuance flies people in. And
that would be cool. And you could walk in and go, hey, you're in the Garmin that I hate, or,
<That's right>.
Yeah.
Ricky standing outside with a bag of nickels. And that's her. I heard her voice.
You voiced the talking microwave. I got something for you.
I'm Timo and I'm ready to. Better yet, I'm the guy who voiced Alex's. How are you doing?
They have two separate people. One who does the Alex voice and the other who just does the breathing.
Who just does the inhale of air. Yeah.
I'm a breath actor. Yes.
Some are hand models, some are finger models. I'm a breath actor. And
you talk about interesting pronunciations. The way Alex says the letter T, it's kind of got an accent.
Yeah.
I want to know who Alex is too. I like this convention idea. Mm-hmm. If they have a voice actors convention, maybe SPN can go and cover it, and we can be there.
Golly. Be confusing too, because everybody, voices are talking and devices are talking.
Is that you or is that my iPhone?
That was kind of the nice thing about the iOS 7 ringtones, is that not, will we have all the crazy default ringtones we've had for the last 7 years?
Hey, I hear that cranky Google voice reading something. Oh, wait, it's a person.
No, you know what? I will totally, I'm down with that on Android 4.3.
Yes.
Yeah, she sounds like she's had a box of Kleenex shoved up her nose. No, I agree with you on that.
Not friendly.
I want to be able to use the New York cop voice, really gruff, and
that'd be great.
Yeah,
I've threatened to Ricky on the next convention to use the a cappella far voice, because that's the one that reads everything as if you were far away.
That's what I'm wanting right there.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Yeah. Imagine reading text. Where are you? I'm in the exhibit hall. Oh,
that's awesome. I'm in a meeting.
I'm trying not to disturb people.
Those voices are free to hear, by the way. If you go look up acapella on the Android market and the Ivona voices, I'm actually using Gwyneth, the UK Welsh
she voice sounds quite
right
nice.
Now. So she does. Mm. She's very, very polite. Amy is too. Amy, the UK voice.
Oh, Amy, yes.
She does read things stilted. You are correct.
I like her, though.
Absolutely. Inflection's off, but other than that, no.
Yeah.
Better than Samantha.
Well, we could do this all day long, but we won't. We're going to bring it to a close. Hope you've enjoyed this edition of the Sarah Talk podcast. As always, we look forward to your feedback because that's kind of what helps us know what direction to go. Remember to check out our other podcasts. We've got the latest episode of Triple Click Home, as well as other episodes of all of our other podcasts coming very, very soon. Until next time, have a great week, everybody.
Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Sarah Talk. Visit us at www.saratalk.com. Send us an email at resources@saratalk.com. Send us an iReport with iBlink Radio, available in the Apple App Store and the Android market. Or leave a voicemail at 866-997-BLAB. That's 2522. We may read your email or play your voicemail in the next podcast. Join us next week as we explore all that life and the internet have to offer. Until then, may you have an accessible digital life.